everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I'm Kelly Alexa, obviously. I want to say thank you in advance because so many of you, number one, have been pinging me on The Kelly O Show Instagram, on Facebook, on my personal social media channels. It is so good to hear from you. And I know this sounds cheesy, but it really warms my heart to hear from so many of you who are some of you are new, you're discovering this podcast for the first time, and you're like, oh my God, this is so helpful. That this certain interview helped me so much. This certain interview helped me so much. And I just want to know, I want you all to know how much that means to me. This is a passion project of mine, and I really, really sincerely love the idea of providing all of this information that not only has changed my life, and I'm learning right along with you and applying these lessons about health and wellness and mind and body and business to myself, but it's so exciting to see these changes in all of you. And I want to thank you also in advance for those of you that have taken the time based on the like billions of requests that I've put down in all of these podcast episodes to give us a review on iTunes. That really means a lot. And we are starting to see major growth on the back end. So I want to say thank you for those of you that have taken the time to do that. And number one, a soft nudge for those of you that haven't, if you can head on over to iTunes and give us a review, that really, really means a lot. And it'll help us continue to grow this show. So today, in today's episode, I've got a dear friend of mine on the show, Bonnie Feaster. Bonnie Feaster is somebody I have known for years and years and years. And it's funny, I realized when we recorded this episode, I've known her actually longer than I thought. She was one of our earliest, she and her husband, Steve, who are trainers down in the Orlando area. I can't think of the name, the specific name of the town, but they've got an amazing gym for women only down in, again, the Orlando area, Steve and Bonnie Feaster. And I remember discovering them online and recruiting them to be some of our earliest FitFluential ambassadors back in the day. And they're just two of the most extraordinary human beings I've ever met. They so passionately care about helping people lose weight and get fit. And they just walk the walk. They're good people from just a positivity perspective, from a health and wellness perspective, from a spiritual perspective. You just can't find two greater people, honestly. I probably shouldn't say that because I think that there's a lot of amazing people we've had on the show, but these are two of some of the best. So when I had Bonnie on the show, we were planning to record an hour-long episode. And in the first part of the episode, I wanted to have part one be about fitness. Again, she and Steve are trainers. They've both trained a lot of folks who have competed. They've competed themselves and won numerous fitness competitions. They're fantastic in their knowledge of health, wellness, nutrition, fat loss. And, you know, again, if you look at them, you'll see they walk the walk. They know what they're doing. So I wanted to talk to her on that note first. And then we were going to delve into a business discussion and have her be part of the business series. Well, what happened is this episode, we just got into so much good stuff about women and diet and exercise and overtraining and caloric deficit that this is a two-part episode strictly on the fitness side of things. So we're going to have Bonnie back and do more of a business series. She's somebody that is very entrepreneurial in nature. She and her husband, they have a brick and mortar business. They're participating in a direct marketing business, actually the one that I've gotten involved with, Isagenics. They also have been successful in the influencer space, having, you know, blogs and social media, and they work with brands that way. And so she's going to be on our business series to share, you know, how they built the empire, both physically in their local area, but then also online, and how they're changing lives and earning their income that way. So that'll be a separate episode. Today is strictly fitness. So sit back and enjoy. Again, this is a two-part episode with Bonnie Feaster.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and I've got with me the fabulous Bonnie Feaster, who has been a dear friend of mine and one of our earliest Fitfluential ambassadors, and somebody, when did we meet? Like way back in Sears Fit Studio days, right? Like 10 years ago?
2009.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it was 2009. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh my God. And I still remember what it was like when I stumbled on you and Steve's blog. And I'm like, oh my, like you were to me, like just celebrities. And I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if they'll talk to me. And then when you wrote me back, and I mean, I don't know if we connected first for Fitfluential or no, that probably was Sears.
We did
Sears, and then I got the job at the agency, and then I started Fitfluential in 2011. So anyway, you guys, everybody listening is like, now you're hearing the background of how long I've known Bonnie and her husband, Steve. But anyway, I'm so psyched to have you on the show. And we're going to talk, as I referenced in the intro today, we're going to talk the first half of the show about fitness and weight loss. Certainly Bonnie and her husband, Steve, are experts in this area, and they give me fantastic advice. And then the second part of the show, we're going to focus more specifically on business. And Bonnie and I are both involved. Actually, I became involved because of Bonnie in a joint business venture. And we're going to talk about that because, again, you guys know, those of you that are listening, I'm focusing on interviewing women who are successful in business, whether it is a side hustle, whether it's several entrepreneurial ventures, because I want to encourage women to kind of wake up and pursue their passions and become strong, independent, particularly independently from a financial perspective, because life is too short to be stuck in a dead-end job and hating your life because you've got a bad commute and you deal with politics at the office. Like, it's time to pursue what you want to do and live your life the way you want. And Bonnie is one of those people who has, well, I don't want to get too into it and give away the whole show, like give you the trailer, but we will definitely talk about her business journey and then what she and I are doing together. And you can learn from her experience there. But let's start with fitness. You and your husband, Steve, have been in the fitness industry for years. And usually when I have folks on the show from a fitness background, I always like to ask, you know, when was it that when did you and Steve, you've been together forever, when did you guys both get interested in fitness? When was that for you and why? And I guess just talk about this, because we'll have Steve on the show another time, so talk about this, Bonnie, from your perspective. When did you become interested in like kind of living a fitness lifestyle? When was that for you and why?
It's funny. I remember I was 18 years old and I was looking in the newspaper, because that's what you did back then when you're looking for jobs. and I saw that a gym in Tallahassee, Florida was hiring for, and I don't even know if they said fitness instructor or what they said. And I thought, and I knew zero about fitness. And I'm like, I think I'll check that out. It was like an all women's club. And I was already in beauty by that time. I was doing, I had multiple jobs. That was my first year of college. So I ended up showing up and totally intrigued. They were super friendly. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I can be friendly and help and give tours. You know, that's basically what I started. And I started there and worked probably for about a year and a half. And as I started learning more about fitness and helping people, and I realized all you need to know is just a little bit more than the people that come in. Seriously. And that's, you know, and that's like my motto with everything. I'm like, you don't have to wait to lose the weight. You don't have to wait to reach your goal to help somebody. Literally, if you have been a member 2 days, you're 2 days ahead of somebody else. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was, you know, I was realizing how these women just needed to learn how to use the equipment. I could do that. But very quickly did it. I was a skinny, lanky, nothing of a, just a bony, long-legged girl. And I was weak, and, you know, I started working out, and I started realizing how it was doing for my self-esteem and my strength, and just, and so intrigued with the world of fitness. And it became a hobby. And fast forward a few years, Steve and I got married, and his first year, our first year of marriage, he got certified as a trainer, and he was in school for exercise nutrition at FSU and eventually graduated from physical therapy school. But we've been kind of in the fitness, you know, business and industries ever since. So that's 25 years. We've owned a gym. I think this is our third gym, and it's been about 20 years being gym owners. So it's just, common ground, something that we immediately, I mean, even on our, before our honeymoon, we were going down to Fort Lauderdale to meet my Steve's best friend, tell him that we were getting married. And I remember us touring a soon to be open new gym coming, and us talking about our gym when we get married and grow up.
And I have to say, whenever you post your photos of when you guys got married, I'm like, you guys look like two Barbie dolls when you got married, both of you with long, and what, with long blonde hair. And Steve looks like, what's that guy?
Fabio. He looks like,
totally looks like,
I mean,
Bobby.
We literally would go out to eat and we would hear people whispering around us, Fabio. And I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's adorable. But I mean, one of the things that I love about you as a couple is, truthfully, I mean, I feel very strongly about kind of getting, there's so many people who just kind of give up on their health after they get married or after they have kids. And when you see a couple like both of you who we're pretty close in age, I'm 50. Am I older than you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, but you, I mean, you look, I think you guys look better now. I mean, and that's subjective, objective, whatever you want to call it. I do. I think you look great. I think you look better now than you did then. I can sometimes look at someone like Cindy Crawford, and I can look at her picture when she was 20 and go, pretty girl, but she's a beautiful woman. Yeah. And people need to get past this idea that as you age, it's all downhill. It can be some of the best times of your life, particularly if you make health and wellness, you know, a priority. And also to what we're going to be talking about in the second part of this show, you know, don't just lead a ridiculously stressful life going nowhere. Choose what you want your life to look like, because that will reflect in how you look and how you feel. I firmly believe that, you know, you don't see a lot of miserable, angry people that look really good. You know, just, it doesn't work that way. So that was just me giving you my sincere, you guys, you know, you really look the part. You look fantastic. And since we're talking about fitness, there's a lot of people obviously that are listening to the show that are, you know, folks that started listening to the show when it was Fit Flundle Radio. So they're listening because they're fitness fanatics. They're interested in weight loss, fat loss, muscle building. And you and Steve are certainly experts in this area. You've, as you mentioned, you've owned your own gym for all of this time. You both have trained any number. How many people have you trained to go through competitions, fitness competitions?
We put over 100 competitors on stage. We're definitely in the transformation business. There's a lot of gyms, great gyms that just have different focuses. And ours has always been more of the aesthetic, real health one, not just like performance or how strong you can be. But yeah, absolutely. If someone comes to me with an excuse, I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I've got 5 people just like you and even worse that have succeeded. So you can't throw that at me.
No, Honest to God, I love the two of you so much. We have to hang out in person very, very soon because it's been too long. I'm still thinking about that time in New York when we were there for that GNC trip and we were shooting videos to show how you can work out in a hotel room, and the outtakes from just Steve Feaster trying to like Steve and Bonnie. We'll have to see if I can link those up because I'm pretty sure they're still on some YouTube channel, but yeah.
He makes life interesting. He is very entertaining.
Exactly. And so are your dogs. I mean, this is completely off topic, but yeah, they have two, are they Great Danes, right?
Yeah, Great Danes.
Two Great Danes. And I get more fun tuning in to just see what your two dogs are doing and where they're sitting as far as like, you know, does Steve have room on the couch to sit with the two Great Danes or not? Absolutely cracks me up.
And he's like they're two heads above Steve. I took a picture of him yesterday on the couch and I'm like, Steve was barely up to Marley's chest as Marley was sitting next to Steve. And it's just ginormous. But you know, they are, even though it is a little off topic, dogs are so healthy for you. They make me get out of my office and go outside and have like a life and do stuff that's like normal people, like maybe 200 years ago did, you know, like we get so, you know, it really, I am so pro getting a dog to get the heck out of the house and go for a walk and do stuff that takes us away from technology and our little holes.
That's such a great point. And I absolutely know that we're going to touch on that too when we hit on, you know, the more business part of the conversation but you know what, it's relevant here too, because a big part of not only what I'm covering on the show, but what I'm focusing on in my life is stress reduction. And I have shared with so many people, and it's just the sorry truth. I mean, it's a little bit of an embarrassing truth, but once I founded Fitfluential, I just became an absolute workaholic who never left my house. I got up, I would put my robe on. My friend Kelly Gregorakis would make fun of me because she's like, you met her that one time when we were all at Disney, and she's from Miami. And she's like, Kelly, you put your black robe on and you go into your office with your yoga pants on and your hair up in a bun and you just work. And then you come out at night and you watch a movie and you go to bed and you get out of bed the next day and you do it. And it was all in the name of like, you know, my startup that was this successful business. And I just allowed it to run me. And I definitely still, I'm trying to figure out why, so that I can maybe unravel that. But I definitely still have a tendency. It's something that my man has to keep me accountable for, which is, you know, he'll come home and go, did you get out of the house today? And it's not that I'm a hermit. It's not that I'm socially awkward. It is very easy to get sucked into that workaholic mindset in this country. It is very easy to get sucked into technology, like you said. And so I hear you. Having a dog is healthy. We certainly are looking to get a dog or a couple dogs when we get to a house. But just focusing on getting out and getting fresh air is something I think all of us should be doing as a priority, because
We used to be, you'd go to a 9-to-5 job and you didn't take your computer, you know, your 800-pound computer home, you know, you didn't have those options. And so when you walked away and there's no real boundaries and we've got such a, you know, just a load of information coming at us. And that's one thing about fitness, which we'll definitely touch on, is, you know, that people are so inundated with so many, you know, fitness tips and information, then it's like nobody knows where to focus their energy. And so people struggle with time management and energy management so much. I mean, me included, Lord knows I could be right there with you in that black robe with my hair up in a messy bun, you know, work until 11 o'clock at night if Steve let me. Luckily, he's pretty demanding of my time and makes me get the heck out of the office.
That's good. And what you just said is key, because, you know, I talk about this a lot on my personal Instagram, you know, overcomplicating fitness. And I think so many of us, so I'm going to pose this question to you, you know, do you see, I think so many of us are, you know, the vast majority of people at any given moment are going to say, I need to lose weight. Like most people are on a weight loss journey of some kind. There's very few people you're going to run into who say, nope, I'm exactly where I want to be from a fitness perspective. So most people are trying to lose weight or get healthier to some degree. But so many of us who have either had kids or we're at a certain phase in life where we're experiencing, you know, some of those things that come along with aging, hormonal imbalance, whatever. What we don't realize is that the very lifestyle and the stressors that come from our lifestyle can be one of the biggest factors to why we're not seeing results in the gym. And yet, I've been one of these people, and I've confided in Bonnie about this. Like, I will obsess over, is my, like, oh my God, you know, I'm off by 14 carbs and that must be, and then because I thought I was off by 14 carbs on my diet plan, I would binge and then I would start over and then I would start, you know, get into some obsessive research about the perfect diet or the perfect workout. And while I was researching, I wouldn't work out and I wouldn't eat, or I would eat bad stuff. And then I would, you know, this guilt cycle and all of these emotions and stress is happening when it really could be a lot more simple, which is, you know, get moving, do something consistently and get out of the house more. Like, I don't think a lot of people take a step back and realize just what you said a second ago, Bonnie, which is how much our lifestyles in this country have changed over the last 20 to 30 years, where we're not getting outside, we're not taking vacations, we're not eating real foods, we're not cooking meals at home, we're not active, we're under artificial light all day, we're not getting enough sleep. Like, would you say that a lot of those lifestyle factors are having a bigger impact on our waistline than maybe necessarily how many calories a certain person might be eating? I'm not going to say that that's not important, because we all know it is. But would you say that you have to deal with a lot of your clients coaching them on lifestyle changes?
Well, I mean, lifestyle is environment is always going to play a huge part in success or failure. However, I think that, you know, we're heavy because we eat too many calories. Bottom line is, like, we eat too many calories. We don't sleep. We don't get enough sleep. And I'll definitely remind me if I miss it, because I want to make sure that I do share with you a study on sleep that's just totally mind blowing on fat loss. But it, you know, the biggest issue that I see is, I think we kind of live in this false success feeling of success, because we're doing, like you were saying, you were researching, your effort level was, you know, in your mind, you've been like, I'm doing everything I can do. And I, you know, and unfortunately, I think because we have access to all this information online, and because we can pursue motivation, information, we can even, you know, we can even purchase things that are labeled with, you know, healthy stamp of approvals on the labels. We can fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing everything right when we really are doing a lot right, but we're not doing enough right. And we're often missing the actual do. You know, we're like, we're doing a lot of the planning, we're talking about it, we're thinking about it. You know, we're even buying health type stuff that says it looks healthy just to make us feel better about ourselves, because really what we're not doing is what we're supposed to be doing and needs to be done the most. And it's like, yep. I see that a lot. I see that with females that really love the gym environment. They love food even more, so they haven't lost any weight. And then they go into the gym and they power lift heavy. And it's like, you need to lose 80 pounds. You don't need to be powerlifting. You need to be doing what you need, not what you want. Mm. And I think that's kind of where, and you know, we're personally, for me, I believe that we're in a world where people are overworking in the gym oftentimes, because they're under dieting. And I think we have this all or nothing mentality. So
I do. Amen.
So it's like, if we can't do it 100%, then we don't do it at all. And then sometimes, you know, I'll just admit all my insecurities right out here. I like to get down and dirty when I talk about my own self, because I want to make sure people know that fitness does not come easy for me. I think, you know, I tease all the time, working out stupid. Why do we do this to ourselves? You know, Steve loves to work out. He loves the feeling of the burning sensation. Not me so much. Matter of fact, the whole entire time we were in DC this weekend, we decided we were going to do our hotel, 30 stories. We're going to do three sets of it. And if that wasn't enough, we're going to do two push-ups in between, on each floor on the way up the first time. Then we're going to do 5 jacks on the way up on each floor the second time. I mean, I was dying. And, you know, and every step I'm thinking, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this myself? I hate this. And of course, when I'm done, I'm like, I'm so proud of me. You know, I'm so glad we did that, you know, but I, you know, in the gym industry, I wish the gym really could do all the work for people, but we eat to lose weight or to gain weight, but we exercise to be healthy and fit. And I think we just, I know for me, the all or nothing mentality, if I can't do something right, you know, amazing and great, I don't want to do it at all because I don't want to be exposed. So the part about me that I was going to tell you about is like, I definitely have a prideful part about me that, you know, is embarrassed. I mean, I don't even know if I've ever shared this with you, but when you sent us to Reebok to do, it was that big Reebok event at headquarters, and we were seeing the next year's, you know, like fashions and shoes and all that kind of stuff. And they had arranged a workout with the CrossFit athletes, you know, CrossFit gamers, right? And I know most of us were bloggers. Most of us really weren't in the quote unquote, you know, fitness real world. There was a combination of fitness enthusiast and maybe a running girl, you know, that kind of stuff. I was so freaking nervous. I mean, like sweaty palms, nervous wreck, pounding heart of stressed out about wondering what this workout was going to be like. And would I be exposed? Would people find out just how weak I am, or how maybe not as strong of endurance, or, you know, I was so nervous about that. And Steve was like, he had a blown out knee and he had a brace on his knee, and he's like, oh yeah, we're going to do this. I'm like, I'm just a nervous wreck. But it's for those type of people. And I think most people are like that to a certain degree. We all think that, you know, people are looking at us. They're going to see, you know, I'm going to be exposed for, you know, my weaknesses, or I might be embarrassed, or, you know, there's, in every gym, people are thinking everybody's looking at them, and that's totally natural. We're all like that to a certain degree. But I think some of the things that happen is when we know our own potential, or know what we used to be like when we were 20, you know, if we hurt ourselves, you know, we have a bad knee and all of a sudden we just decide we're just not going to go to the gym at all. When there's tons of things we can do, we just don't, most people don't have that mentality of, I need to do what I can right now with what I have, where I'm at. And instead we kind of think, okay, if I can just lose 10 pounds, then I might join a gym, you know, or maybe if I could do that, you know, and so then we start diving into, like you said, I'm going to research the newest diet, but I'm going to try to think of something else I can do, when really we're not even doing what we know we should be doing. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. It's like, somebody told me the other day, God would share more about himself if you already started doing what he already revealed. And I'm like, isn't that the truth? We kind of, most people tend to want to listen to the next diet and the next diet and the next diet to finally find the one thing that must be surely easier than the one thing that I've already done, or the some things I've already heard, you know, or the workouts I've already tried.
When, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. I think to me, like one of the things that, you know, one of the movies Steve and I went to go see recently is, and it's so funny that both of our man is respectively named Steve. So I feel like I have to go, when I was with my Steve, we went to go see that Britney Runs a Marathon movie. And I freaking loved it. And what I loved about it is that they showed this woman who decided to, you know, start running. And it wasn't like this thing where 90 days later or 30 days later, she's buff and up on stage competing. And in fact, she decided like a year in advance that she was going to run the New York City Marathon and trained for a year. And a lot of people would go, a year, you know, because, and to what you were just saying, I firmly believe that all of us, if we peel back the layers, we're looking for that perfect diet, that perfect weight or workout, because essentially we want whatever is going to make it happen the fastest to get us out of our pain point. And our pain point is our weight or the state of our body. And so what we don't realize is the simple common sense, and it really is embarrassing how common sense it is, that in our search in our perpetual search to find something that's going to work faster, we've taken our foot off the gas. So we're trying to get somewhere. Put yourself in a car. Let's use that as an analogy, right? If you're in a car and you're driving around a neighborhood trying to find a house, and that's akin to, trying to accomplish your weight loss goal, but you've taken your foot off the gas, how much longer is it going to take you to find the house that you're going to find the house that you're looking for? Just put your foot on the gas. And what we do with, is keto better for me than paleo, or should I do paleo with intermittent fasting? And then you'll start down a path. And if you're like me, and this is what the bad thing is about social media and fitness, is you get 80 billion people who want to give you their opinions on what you're doing. Oh, you're having that? Oh, well, didn't you read this study that said that intermittent fasting is bad for you? Oh, you shouldn't be eating breakfast. Or did you know this? Oh, you're not having bulletproof coffee. Oh, you're not paleo. You're not keto. You're not this. And it's very easy to switch gears. But would you agree that I think a lot of people will switch gears because they really think there's going to be something out there that's going to work faster, and all the switching gears is only going to make them stop and start more, which is going to make the journey longer?
Absolutely. Most people do fall into success seeker type of mentality where they don't try anything long enough for anything to actually work. Because one of my friends, his chiropractor, is like, everything works and nothing works, and he says that a lot, because you can have two different people on two different things that can work for both of them. But a lot of things don't work because most people don't do anything for long enough to figure out if it's going to work for them. And the thing with the keto and vegetarian and all the different things that are out there, I would just never do well on keto. And partially because I don't really like meat. I eat it because I know it's good for me and it helps me and it definitely keeps me full and all that kind of jazz. But I just love salads and I love vegetables. But so I know right off the bat that that's just not going to work for me. There's a million other reasons why I don't particularly not fond of keto for females, but there are so many great diets out there, and they all have, most of them have some truths to them, to why it makes them work. For instance, if you want to go way back, let's think about Tab. my mom drank Tab like it was going out of style, when she was counting her calories back in the 70s. And then, late 80s and early 90s, it was, oh my gosh, you have fat in that? You shouldn't have fat. That's, if you do.
Mm-hmm. Fat makes you fat.
Cut that fat. It needs to be fat-free. So then we were eating like tuna casseroles loaded with pasta and noodles and carbs and, you couldn't have enough carbs and oatmeal and anything else, but just don't have any fat on it. And then you go into your 90s and everybody's like, wait a minute, we need to cut carbs. And every single one of those, diets were, if they worked for people, like there was the zone diet, there was a grapefruit diet, there's the
cabbage
soup diet, which I did. And if you looked at them, most of them all were about the same amount of calories, whether you do Weight Watchers or whatever. The most actual structured diets are around the same amount of calories. And yes, a fat-free diet is going to be lower in calories because, 1 gram of fat is 9 calories versus a gram of carb or protein, which is 4 calories. So yes, you're drastically reducing fat. Same thing with carbs. If you could go to Carrabba's and say, instead of doing noodles, can you put the same amount of mass of shredded chicken instead? We wouldn't eat that much chicken, but boy, can we pound down that much volume in pasta. So yes, lower your carbs because our carbs are so much volume, we'd lower our calories. So in all those diets, they all have something good about them, but it's just, I don't know if it's our human nature or what it is about us, but we want something to be stamped. We like being on a name brand diet. Like we like saying, people like saying I'm keto or I do this or whatever, I'm paleo. And they like having this name. But a lot of them are just so extreme when if people actually would waste less time trying to find these fad diets and actually spend more time on just understanding their bodies and understanding basic nutrition, they would have something that they, I always tell people, you can go on a ABC diet that gives you a list of things to do. And then as soon as you go to a restaurant where ABC is not on the menu, you're messed up. You're like, you're lost. Or you can learn why ABC actually works. And then you're completely free for the rest of your life because you can figure out what to eat anywhere.
Mm, so true. And I've learned so much just recently. And really, people that have been following me have been hearing me share my, like, oh, holy shit, aha moments. And truthfully, you know, one of them, and it goes back to what you were saying, and incidentally, one of the interviews I just published recently was an interview I did a while back with Joe Dowdell. And I was a little surprised. You know, here's this guy, he's a celebrity trainer. And, you know, if you look at me in my position, after founding FitFluential, I've been in the glorious, as a fitness fanatic, I've been in the glorious position of being able to meet some of the, you know, biggest celebrity Hollywood trainers, right? Best nutritionists, best-selling authors, like all the people I look up to in the fitness, health, and wellness space. And I got to hear all of their input. And you know what's interesting is even before it really hit me, what I observed about the fittest people is that, you know, people who aren't yet fit and don't consider themselves a quote-unquote fitness person, they'll look at somebody who's like, owns a fitness company. They'd look at you like Bonnie and Steve, or they'd look at Kathy Friedrich or Joe Dowdell or whatever and go, well, sure, they're healthy, but that's their job. They do it all the time. Like they're a different kind of person and they don't have all the temptations that everybody else does. And the truth is, I've spent time with all of these people in person and it is an effort for them. And they have times when they fall off the wagon intentionally or unintentionally. So they just choose to do the work that it takes. And it is work. It is focus. You do have to be at a caloric deficit. And as you get older, you know, your body does not work the way it used to. It's, you can't consume the same amount of calories that you, so you really have to watch it and tighten up and you've got to be moving and it's effort. But the people that are fit make the effort. They're not just effortlessly fitter than the rest of us. You know, it doesn't happen that way. And the other thing is back to what Bonnie was saying before, and this is what Joe Dowdell alluded to in his interview. He's like, look, here's the deal. If you want to go paleo, go paleo. If you want to be a vegetarian, be a vegetarian. He's like, the ultimate thing you've got to do is you've got to move and you've got to, you know, burn more calories than you take in. You've got to be in a caloric deficit if you need to lose weight, period. If you do that from being vegetarian, mostly carbs, mostly protein, whatever, he goes, is it better to have, you know, a certain amount of protein every day? Yeah. Could you lose weight eating pizza only? Yeah. Is that advisable? No. Like, we so overcomplicate things. And sometimes it's back to the basics. When I think back to the first time in my life that I lost weight, it's because I started keeping a food diary and I counted my calories and I realized I was eating probably 800 more calories a day than I thought. And I started losing weight. And that's when I was eating lean cuisines every day and skinny cows. But you know what? I lost weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve always says the same exact thing. He'll tell people just to prove a point. And just like you were saying and quoting earlier, not that you're telling somebody that they can eat pizza and lose weight, you know, not condoning it. But the fact of the matter is, if you eat, you know, 1,000 calories of Snickers bars every day and you burned, you know, 2,000 calories a day, you're going to lose weight. You will probably be a very fat, skinny, fat, inflamed, uncomfortable thinner person. But yeah, it is calories in versus calories out. Now there are other components like enough sleep and wanting to get enough protein in, especially for weight training and stuff like that, that are important. But you're right. We do overcomplicate, you know, the world overcomplicates it and industry products and, you know, everybody from grocery to brands and, you know, vitamin type stores, you know, they want you to believe that you've got to have their product to be able to succeed. And it's not true. There's some products that absolutely can help you reach your goal so that you're comfortable. It's just, unfortunately, this is a big industry. People, you know, want to sell you something and, you know, and a lot of times they put, you know, a brand or a sticker on something just to you know, gluten-free or whatever to make people feel better about purchasing it. And that's that kind of false sense of success that I talk about, is that a lot of people think they're doing all the right things when they're really not, that they're just, but they just want to feel good, like they're trying, especially if they're not doing everything that they know they should be doing. At least they're, you know, it kind of gives them that feeling of like, well, at least I'm doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what you think about this, because one of the things that I give myself credit for is I'm very willing to do the work on myself, like to go, oh, wow, this has been my tendency, like figuring out what I do wrong so I can fix it. Like I'm sometimes that way to a fault. Like I will find everything wrong with myself. But I have no problem peeling back the layers and seeing like, oh my God, you know, like here's been my issue. And in most recently for me, it was this overwhelming, aha, lightning bulb moment of, you know, I'd watched this video by this guy who'd been talking a lot about caloric deficit. And I mean, this is a phrase I've heard like a billion times. And he's, you know, I heard a lot of talk. I watched some of his YouTube videos, and he's like, if you, and specifically he had done an interview with, on his podcast with a woman who had Hashimoto's like I do.
Hey everybody, you've reached the end of part one of this two-part interview with Bonnie Feaster. Make sure you tune into part two.